Everybody good? Okay, we're going to call the meeting to order. At this time, we will stand for a moment of silence and then the pledge. The flag is back here this evening. Thank you. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, we have the agenda. We did have a request for a modification to move the special presentation up next, and then the citizen of the district comments, and there's also an introduction that will be made. Were there any other agenda modifications this evening?
You're talking about the personnel report being
Yeah. Well, were you asking to move the whole report up or just to do just
so
the introduction?
So you could vote on it, and if they want to go, they can certainly go.
We'll move. I guess we can separate that, and we'll move the personnel report up prior to the Be Impactful Award. Is there a motion to approve as amended?
So moved.
Second.
Second. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, no? Okay, the agenda for this evening is approved as amended. So we will start with the personnel report, and I think Dr. Larkin has a comment on that.
Yes, we have been looking for new teachers this year, and we have one here this evening that is going to be introduced by Heather Schrantz, our principal at Blue Ball.
Seen the school. She had dinner at Town Hall.
All right.
It's as official as it gets.
Yeah.
Please welcome.
Thank you.
Could I ask you what year you graduated from Shippensburg?
2015.
Okay. I had two boys that graduated. They were earlier than that.
And I was just going to say this school was built in the 50s, and if you would have went to town hall then, it would pretty much look exactly the same. So it's some things are good if they never change, so that's great. Is there a motion to approve the personnel report?
So moved.
Second.
Second. Any other discussion or comments on the personnel report? All right. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no? The personnel report is approved, and then we have a special presentation, and who will be introducing that?
Yep, I'll take care of that. Thank you, Mr. Yoder. For the last 4 years now, we have had a private sponsor of an award to recognize the impact that a teacher makes here in the school district. Mr. and Mrs. Davis, this Jamie Davis, came to me four or five years ago, and asked if she could award a teacher with a large sum of money and the recognition for in honor of a former mentor named Mr. B, and told the story to me, and I was thrilled to work with Jamie to make this happen. So this evening, Jamie and her husband are here to officially recognize Liz Smoker. Liz, if you would stand up as the winner this year. Liz is the winner of the Be Impactful Award. It is open to any teacher. Anyone can nominate or recommend their yeah, you got to see. Thanks. The husband's telling her. Yeah. Thanks for the help. Way to go. Okay. So anyone can nominate. The nominations can come from students, colleagues, parents. It's just whoever hears the message and wants to make a nomination. And we have been blessed. We've had a lot of students, a lot of teachers recognized and nominated. But after the selection committee processed all of the applications, the clear winner was Liz. And so we want to acknowledge Liz publicly. She did receive a visit from the Be Impactful team here just towards the end of the year. We all have our T-shirts that we have. Mr. and Mrs. Wilson are part of that. I'll ask you guys all to stand at this time, the Wilsons and the Davises, please. The Davises are the sponsors. And Mr. and Mrs. Wilson are also assisting us. By the way, since I have Dennis and Jamie standing, I also want to acknowledge them. They sit on our foundation board that does a lot of wonderful things for our students. We have two trips out right now to Germany and to Vietnam, and these two people help make all that happen, both Jamie and Dennis. So it's a nice opportunity for me to acknowledge a lot of people at once. Thank you so much for your sponsorship. Liz, congratulations. Dennis, thanks for your assistance. And, of course, his lovely wife is in our schools all the time, either subbing or doing something. So, yeah, we got a lot of help here in the front row. So thank you so much for everything. Congratulations, Liz. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, and congratulations, and sure, very well deserved, and it's always good to see that each year. We have some residents who wish to address the board this evening, so what I'm going to do is I'll read a name and then the person following so that you can be ready. And we'll start with Mr. Jonathan Boyd, if he would come to the microphone, please.
Obviously, I'm Jonathan. I thank you for the opportunity to stand before you and to pray for you. I'd like to bless you, so if you would join me in prayer. So, Father, I just thank you right now for this group of men and women who give unselfishly of their time. And I just pray that you would bless them and their families, that you pour out just creative gifts on them, that they would know and understand, and they would just have direction on which way to go. And I just pray that you would just bless them and their families. I also pray a blessing on the administration, that you would pour out just, again, creative gifts upon them as they see things and as they do things, that there is that they can see the direction they need to go. And I just pray for their families as well, that they be a blessing. And for the teachers and the students, I just pray that you would just give them rest as they're off right now and as they're just enjoying their time. And I just thank you for this opportunity. In your name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. I forgot to announce the next person, and also to mention Mr. Boyd was a former board member, and thank you for the time that you served on here. Yvette Lee and then Faith Pickle.
My name is Yvette Lee, and I'm a resident of Earl Township. Hello, school board and Superintendent Hollister. I stand before you representing four living generations of my family. In addition, I represent countless coworkers, friends, and strangers I've met and conversed with on the street, all residents of Olancho School District. Thank you for your service to our community. I value the sacrifice of your time and energy and your willingness to share your experiences and expertise. I thank you to those who responded to my emails, and Mr. Wenzel, it was a pleasure to meet you at the meet and greet, and I really respect and value the candor with which you spoke to me. Thank you. That being said, I cannot support the direction of the current path of policy 253. Any policy or procedure that minimizes, ignores, counterfeits, or eliminates the truth that God made man in his image, male and female, is simply not an acceptable solution. I'm asking you to take more time and consider a policy that recognizes and separates by biological sex within multi-user changing rooms and bathroom facilities. A policy that gives the district discretion to build private facilities within multi-user facilities designated by biological sex. In other words, if a boy does not want to undress in front of other boys or he thinks he's a girl, he can use one of the private facilities, much like what has been considered for renovation, within his own locker room or restroom, and likewise for a girl within her respective multi-user facility. This is a reasonable accommodation that would end individuals imposing themselves on others. The district is not turned upside down. Our school district is not incurring the extreme expense of the current proposed renovations to accommodate a handful of students. I'm concerned that the current position of policy 253 is part of a systematic process of indoctrination brought on by a movement with an insatiable agenda. Last week, I heard Superintendent Hollister make a chilling statement. It's one of those things that after a couple of years, it will be routine. The learners who knew the old model will have more difficulties than the ones who come up and start from the beginning. In addition, I sense a naivete that policy 253 will create a utopia in our school. Policy 253, as it stands, will only increase discrimination and promote divisiveness, not eliminate it. Look at the examples for yourselves of the school districts who've gone before us. Superintendent Hollister says Policy 253 is a huge leap forward for our kids. Isaiah in the Holy Bible states, "Woe to the man who calls evil good." I would like a policy to clearly and permanently recognize and separate students by biological sex. Thank you.
Okay. Big Pickle and then Ryan Zimmerman.
Hello, I am Faith Stone Pickle. I was born and raised in New Holland and I'm a graduate of Garden Spot. I have deep roots in this community. I have deep roots in this community. My great-great-great-grandfather, Johann Leonard Stein, settled here in 1733, helping to establish this town. The first school was built on his land. He and his son Jacob paid a subscription of 2 logs each for the building. I was thinking maybe instead of taxes, we could do that this year with the possible renovations and upgrades. And I want to express my appreciation for each of you board members for the long, hard work you have done in finding a solution to the privacy situation. Job 36:5 tells us that, behold, God is mighty and yet despises no one, nor regards anything as trivial. He is mighty in power of understanding and the heart. You too have considered this as not trivial, but you're wanting to meet the needs of all. And I think that you're almost there, but I would like to share from an article I recently received from Samaritan Ministries, written by Kelsey Coalition, of which I've been given permission to give you copies if you're interested. The article has information that grieves the heart. It speaks of an identity-based medical experiment that is being performed on children and comments from those who have regrets of having sexual transitional surgeries as children. Allowing transgender students to use facilities of the opposite sex, could that very well be harming them and encourage them to do something that they may regret later in life? With this privacy policy that you want to institute, as it is, I am under the impression that in September, when my dear little first grade granddaughter returns to school and needs to use the girls' room, she could be subjected to a 12-year-old sixth grade boy using the same facilities. And with what Dr. Hollister said, he will not make the administration remove them. I don't think that I'm a grandmother who's overly exaggerating, because I have heard a third grade girl say that there is a fifth grade girl using the restroom where my granddaughter will be going, who thinks she's a boy, so she's using the nurse's restroom. Please have the privacy policy state that each student use the restroom of their biological sex and not indoctrinate the children in Eastern Lancaster County into thinking that something that is abnormal is normal. That simply is not acceptable. They want to know truth. Thank you.
Ryan Zimmerman, and then Joel Saint.
Good evening, board. My name is Ryan Zimmerman. I live in New Holland, and I have a son and 2 daughters attending Elanco. My concern tonight is primarily regarding my girls and their guaranteed safety in the environment of the proposed 253. The proximity and commingling of the sexes poses a threat to their innocence. Over the past months, our children and their friends have heard comments from students suggesting they are looking forward to the new opportunities this policy will afford them. It is quite alarming, the misbehavior that is being discussed. What is to stop a guy from pulling my daughter into a room and assaulting her? Cameras are simply a tool for reaction, and they are not proactive. If the biological sexes remain in separate areas, they would not have the ease access. I request that the policy explicitly and permanently recognizes and separates students by biological sex. It has been mentioned before about reasonable accommodation. The private facilities that are already proposed seem to go above and beyond reasonable accommodation. Why take it a step further and remove designation of biological sex? I hope to hear an answer about this in your discussion later tonight. I feel that it is your duty to offer protection, not preference of only a few students. Subjecting my girls to this experiment is not, I'm sorry. Subjecting my girls to this experiment is not something in good conscience that I can be a part of. If separation is not guaranteed, we, my wife and I, will be making hard decisions about the continued enrollment at Elanco. My job here tonight is not to change your mind, but to be heard and go on record. As a Christ follower, there is a higher court that I am more concerned about than any court here on earth. Matthew 18:6 says, "But if you cause one of these little ones who trust in me to fall into sin, it would be better for you to have a large millstone tied around your neck and drowned in the depths of the sea." Now listen, I am not quoting this verse to point any fingers, and I don't know what this means to you, but to me, it is something I take very seriously. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. And Joel Saint and then Stu Martin. Joel, okay. Stu Martin and Christy Landis after that.
Hi, Board. It's been a while since I was over here. I think it was two meetings ago, and at that meeting I had expressed to you that clearly the issue at hand here is not safety or security. The issue at hand here is indoctrination. I used as my example of that at that time the fact that one of the proponents was suggesting that we should have diversity training, was suggesting that this community needs to step out of the 1950s. I was just at a meeting last week, and in that meeting, I came to find out a lot more detail about the drag queen story time hours that are being conducted inside of and around the library systems, possibly inside of this county, not sure about that, definitely inside of the counties that are surrounding ours. And that drag queen story time hour is being led by a proponent who calls himself Annie Christ. Annie Christ. There should be no question in your mind whose face he's rubbing it in. Why does that matter to me? I said the last time that we were here, the whole purpose of this is one step closer to indoctrination of your children, my children, your grandchildren, my grandchildren. And oddly enough, I believe from what I heard in the tape from the last meeting, it sounded like Dr. Hollister kind of agreed. He agreed from the standpoint, and I'm not going to put words in his mouth, but somebody else just mentioned it. He agreed that it's a lot easier to teach a different generation, a younger generation, than it is adults who are more difficult to move. We're grounded on the Word of God, guys. The Word of God is very, very, very clear to us about what is and isn't acceptable for our lifestyle. And my lifestyle will never, nor my kids, nor my grandkids, will ever include homosexuality. Now, the reason I'm here to talk to you and continue to press this issue is to let you know that this is about 3,000 other kids who could be indoctrinated, some of which could be indoctrinated. That is unacceptable to this community. It may be okay to others, but to this community, I can guarantee you that is unacceptable. We saw in our first meeting in January about this, how many people showed up. And we also saw how many of those people stood up to maintain separation by biological sex. He made them male and female. That's what we believe. And as another person just expressed, we answer to a higher court and a higher God. So if a court system comes in and tells us how it's going to be, let me make clear, it's not going to be that way for me, nor my family. So you got a couple of choices. You could have a wholesale movement out of the public school system. As I've worked with this, I've had many good friends who I respect both in and out of politics that have said to me, Stu, it's not redeemable. Just leave it alone. It's not redeemable. Just leave it alone. Well, that'd be great if I didn't have to be concerned about other kids. I could move out. I could ignore the rest. I could tell my kids, get them out. Anyway, thanks for hearing me, but do the right thing. Thanks.
All right. Then we have Christy Landis and Pam Mentzer.
Hi. I didn't want to waste your time by bumbling around, so I wrote what I want to say. My name is Christy Landis, and I'm a Lancaster County transplant from Southern California, which makes it even more shocking to me that the close-knit, traditional family values community I moved into is struggling with a liberal agenda that California schools haven't yet dealt with. While I am very empathetic towards and feel great compassion and love for those struggling with gender dysphoria, and while those students deserve to be safe in school, the policy 253 and its addendum are not an appropriate response. To pander to an incredible minority is our nation's bent these days. But not only does Policy 253 create safety issues for the student body as a whole, I'll expand in a moment, it also opens the door for all sorts of legal ramifications for staff members. As for student body safety, in item 5.5, the Policy 253 states, 5.5, the district shall have the right to access any single user lockable facility, including one currently in use, where building administrators have a reasonable basis to believe that an individual's use of such a facility poses an imminent threat to the health, safety, security, or welfare of him, herself, or others. But how are teachers supposed to know when there is floor to ceiling, privacy walls and door, that there would be commingling of the sexes or bullying because they have no line of sight to any students? And with the incredible cacophony of noise that's present in any high school environment, their ears aren't going to be any help in this regard. What legal ramifications will there be in the very likely event of commingling or bullying in a now extremely private environment? My last query is about the magnitude of cost that will be inevitable given policy 0.5.1. Which states unisex or single user facilities for changing and toileting shall be provided by the district in order to create a comfortable facility for any student for any reason. The board keeps saying that unisex single-user private facilities are only being implemented at the high school, but this statement commits the district to building them wherever deemed necessary for any student for any reason. It seems that an alternative proposal to accommodate the privacy and safety of students with gender dysphoria has been given to the board. This proposal would provide private stalls within the current facilities for students to continue to use on the basis of biological sex. I exhort you to be diligent in thoroughly examining every option available to you before committing yourselves and the taxpayers you represent to a costly decision that will negatively impact our community, does not represent the values and wishes of the community you represent, and will furthermore not even provide the safety it asserts to create. Thank you.
Thank you. And Pam Mentzer and then Ron Garber.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen of the school board, Dr. Hollister, and administration. Congratulations on the completing of another school year. And I truly hope that you all find the time to rest and enjoy some downtime during the summer months. As I stated, my name is Pam Mentzer, and I have been an Elanco resident since 1976, and I currently reside in Narvon. I am here tonight with questions for the board regarding the implementation of Policy 253. At last week's meeting, Dr. Hollister revealed the current architectural drawings for the locker rooms, which included an amount of showers and stalls that seemed excessive. I believe that the number of showers could be greatly reduced if they were simply added to the existing spaces separated by male and female. Not only would this accommodate privacy concerns, it would also maintain the biological distinctions between the two sexes. It would, in my opinion, also be the more fiscally responsible solution. While much has been said about inclusivity and compromise, we have yet to hear our concerns about the separation by biological sex truly be addressed. I'd like to remind this board that true compromise is never one-sided. I am here tonight representing the Elanco Truth Alliance, which is a group of us that are speaking to you tonight. We would also like to see that the budget projections for the full renovation costs district-wide be given to us should Policy 253 be implemented. In our estimation, it is unreasonable to ask that the taxpayers of this district should support and fund a project that has yet to be fully disclosed in its scope and in its functionality. My final comment tonight is concerning the locking of bathroom doors during the school day, which was mentioned by Dr. Hollister at last week's meeting. How are the rights of all students truly being protected when we are willing to go to great expense to accommodate a few, but lock the doors to any possibility of dissent? It is our belief that recognizing and honoring the distinctions of male and female as God created them is not equivalent to discrimination. And we will not support the insidious quietism that is masking itself as peace. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your attention to this matter. And we pray that you hear this community.
All right. Thank you. Ron Garber. And then John Mentzer.
Good evening, school board, Dr. Hollister, administrators. My name is Ron Garber, and my wife and I both graduated from Garden Spot many years ago. Also have two sons that graduated from here. The last several months have been a real challenge for everyone regarding the privacy policy for students. I appreciate your efforts and the willingness to serve through this process and other issues you encounter. I believe that God made male and female, and his word is clear with examples of the differences between men and women. His expectation is that we uphold and reinforce those differences. I ask that each one of you do your best to help uphold and reinforce these differences in your decision-making going forward. Also help protect the biological sexual identity of our sons and daughters, grandsons and granddaughters. Their future is at stake, pending how the privacy policy is enforced and the many effects it will have to each and everyone. Thank you.
Thank you. John Mentzer and then Dave Horst.
Hello, school board, Dr. Hollister. Early on, I challenged one of the school board members on the policy, and he assured me that they were giving us protection of biological sex and privacy. But after seeing the architect's plans last meeting, it was obvious that the room that's for commingling of all sexes, and guys, that is not biological sex protection. That is commingling where a lot of things can happen. And I can reiterate everybody that said here tonight, and that's one of the disadvantages of going last. Everybody steals your thunder. But I just want to challenge you guys and ladies is do what is right. And again, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, and I know some of you are here in this board. We attain to a higher power, and my allegiance is Jesus Christ alone. Don't cower to things of mankind. We have a policy to uphold before Jesus Christ. Thank you.
Okay, and then Dave Horst.
As tall as you are. Go like that. Okay. Good evening, board and administrators. I was last week when the plan was showed. I'm glad I talked to Dr. Hollister this evening before I came up here because he informed me that the restrooms at the gym have always been locked before. I was going to give you kind of a hard time because why would you protect visitors and realize their insecurities but not the students? But I'm not going to go there because I talked to Dr. Hollister before. But there's one other thing I'm kind of concerned about. Last May, I was talking to Dr. Hollister again, and he said that there were three or so male students that claimed to be transgender, and they vetted them, they checked them out, they found out they weren't, and they got suspended. My question to you is, the policy that you're putting in place, would they be able to sue the school for discrimination because them being straight males are not permitted the same rights that people that are transgender are given? I don't know if your policy covers that or not, but just be careful about the policy so that you're not sued by both sides. Yeah. Okay. Thanks for your time.
Okay. Thank you for everyone for their comments, and that concludes then our public comment section. We do have the consent agenda before us, and everyone hopefully has had a chance to review that. Is there a motion to approve the consent agenda?
So moved.
Second.
Second. Any other discussion or questions? If not, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Consent agenda is approved. We do have a couple of separate action items, starting with the authorization of a sale of a parcel of property in Blue Ball. Mr. Ramsey, were you going to speak to that? Or?
Sure. Jeff, could you pull up the map there, please? As most of you are probably aware, if you attended previous meetings, the district did purchase some land surrounding the Blue Ball Elementary School. At our previous month meeting, I think it was last month, we did have a drawing of potential use of the land that we purchased. If we would need potentially to do some additions, some playing fields, tennis courts, et cetera. You'll see at the bottom right of that drawing, you'll see the red lined area that we're carving out. It has a house, a barn, a shed, and some land. It's about 5.3 acres. At this time, we feel that that land is not needed for the school district purposes, for future purposes. Therefore, we're recommending that we sell that section off. We have three options. One would be a public sale, like an auction. Two would be a sealed bids, or three would be a private sale. We've had an appraisal done, and what we're planning on doing is doing a private sale. See how that goes. If we get the price that we're looking for, we would then apply to the courts to sell the property. So at this time, this is just authorization for us to begin negotiations, at which time when we would reach an agreement, we would have to come back to the board. We have to do some advertising as well as apply for court approval. So at this time, we would need a roll call vote by the board to approve the resolution to begin negotiations, sale of that piece of property.
Okay. So is there a motion to approve this resolution?
So moved.
And a second?
Second.
And then we'll do a roll call vote, and we do need a majority of the full members of the board, so we need at least five affirmative votes. So,
Mr. Buck?
Aye.
Mr. Irvine?
Yes.
Mrs. Mayo?
Yes.
Mr. Naranjo?
Yes.
Mr. Wentzel?
Yes.
Mr. Yoder?
Yes. So the motion does carry unanimously of the board members in attendance. Six to zero. Yeah. Okay. Now we have the floor plan design for the garden spot locker area, and Dr. Hollister, I guess, if you were comment on that.
Jeff, do you have that drawing from last week that you bring up? If not, I mean, the drawing was on display last week. No changes have been made other than the one that Mr. Naranjo identified, taking away the alcove at the one locker space and straightening that hallway. That was the only change made to the entire drawing. So we're presenting that drawing for your approval or discussion.
I guess maybe what we should do is take a motion to approve, and then if we get a second, and then we can have a discussion on it. So that way, then, okay, you did bring it up now. Good, because we did have a couple questions. Is there a motion to approve?
So for clarification, sorry, we need a motion to approve and then a second in order for us to discuss it?
Yes. I think that would be
okay.
The proper procedure, yes.
So moved.
All right, second.
Second. Okay, then we can open up for discussion. So. I know comments Mr. Naranjo had raised some last week, and any other board members I know had a few as well, so I'll open it up now.
Yeah, I still have a couple concerns about the overall layout, and additionally, I think until we had some time to discuss some of those things, where the bathrooms are, what separates them, whether or not the concept works, I would be hesitant to personally open it up for bids, given that it may require a bunch of renovations or revisions prior to actually being able to put forth a budget or collecting bids.
I know one of my concerns was, you know, the locker area or the team classrooms, I guess we could say. Envisioned, I think some of us had envisioned them being more more open with not the separation. So again, for sight lines and also for not the feeling of being like in a separate room, and also for security wise. I know the architects had raised issues about the fire codes, and I feel like we need to maybe revisit that, because I think there would be a way to accomplish what my vision was for it, and I think some of the others as well. So I guess be interested in comments from other members.
My concern is, it seems like it's kind of went from what I had envisioned and what I thought we had originally started discussing was like more like a hallway, like an open area with private changing stalls or rooms, and now it's kind of morphed into what appears like four or five different changing rooms with changing rooms. So I think it's hard to, the way it is, because there's so many different areas that are closed off and then closed off again, to kind of maintain, I don't know, control or, you know, line of sight, or just to see what, to have supervision in so many different areas, because like some are on the one side of the gym, some are on the other side of the gym, it's just, and then there's two rooms. I don't know. I feel, to me, it got a little more complicated than I was thinking it was going to be.
And I don't know if we could, if some of it could be addressed in, you know, as of the fire code issues in other ways. I think we need to push back a little bit on the, with the architects maybe, and see if we can make some of those revisions. So at this point, yeah, I wouldn't be ready to approve it as it's currently constituted.
I agree with both of you. It's not what I envisioned, you know, and more it's almost like it's just as restrictive as it was before. So I agree. I'm not comfortable going forward with the current layout and to send it back for a different look at it.
And I agree with what the other board members have said, that we need the changing rooms to have a common hallway that is easily accessible to anyone at any time, with private changing areas and private bathroom stalls. But the hallway leading to those stalls and bathrooms needs to be just an open, easily accessible hallway.
And as we investigate it, I would be open to wanting to see what it could potentially look like if we've been talking about the last number of months. Even if you have hallways in areas, like, do we talk about having a general boys area or girls area hallways? So, which I think, you know, it looks very confusing right now. It looks like Boston, and.
And I think it's also, you know, sometimes we need to think it as two different things. One is during the school day, the PE classes, which I believe are separated by biological sex, and then the after school, the teams, which are currently, for the most part, but there is allowances that. And we've had it in the past where you can have a student of the opposite biological sex allowed to compete on, for instance, the football team, if a female wanted to on the football team. So because there is no, you know, girls football team, and that's a Title IX type of issue. So I think we need to be able to account for both of those and have an alternative area, you know, which would be available here, but we would just have to make sure we have it defined that way. So I'm hearing mostly negative comments. I guess we'll call for a vote. If we vote it down, then we would just go back to the drawing board. Is that, I mean, to revision, to looking at it, I guess, Dr. Hollister, is that Would you think that's, I guess, basically?
Yeah, I think, you know, pause for sure. It sounds
right.
Like we've got it.
All right.
At least
so,
offer another city instead of Boston.
Yeah.
So we'll come up with something. I don't know. We're happy to take a look at it and take another swing at it.
All right. So all in favor, say aye. And then
what are you voting?
Yeah, keep clarifying.
Be careful on what you're clarifying.
Right. So if you're voting aye, you're voting to go forward with this. If you're voting nay, then we're going to put it back and revisit it. So I didn't. In favor, say aye. Opposed, nay.
No.
Nay. No.
Or no. Okay, so this is not approved, and we will continue to work on that. We have then reports, Lancaster County Tax Collection Bureau, Mr. Ramsey.
Yes, our June 12th meeting was canceled, so our next meeting is September 11th.
Okay. Those of us that pay quarterlies got to send them in today to there, so I just... Lancaster 11 and IU 13, Mr. Irvin.
The Lancaster 11 and IU 13 board meeting is scheduled for Wednesday, the 19th of June, so I will be giving you that report at our July board meeting.
Okay. Thank you for that. The Lancaster CTC, Mrs. Redmond, could not be here this evening. She did want to highlight, I guess there were some Garden Spot students who were named Student of the Month for the CTC. In Mount Joy, Kyle Martin, a senior from Elanco School District in our Protective Services Academy. Is that, I'm not sure what Protective Services, is that like police or fire safety? Fire safety, that's awesome. And then Corey Roten, a senior from Elanco School District in our RV and Outdoor Power Equipment Program. So congratulations to them for being Students of the Month for May of 2019. And then we would have the legislative, Mr. Wentz.
All right, thank you. The audience have to bear with me. I have a few newspaper articles here in front of me. Of course, we're rapidly approaching June the 30th, July 1st, when we... on paper should have a state budget, and the state, as the economy is doing well, has been doing exceedingly well in the revenue coming into the state, but it has not changed the fiscal condition of the state. For example, there's a number of issues facing it, like the Turnpike Commission debt rose to $450 million each year, and there's also other areas. The probably one of the biggest ones that would affect school district is the Moody's way it rates us for we're one of the lowest rated for credit rating agencies. I don't know if Keith, if you'd like to comment on that, how that affects school districts. No comment. The other one is the public transportation transit funding, which. Currently has shrunk from $450 million to perhaps $50 million in 2022. Of course, everybody has an idea. There's a pushback from the governor on fiscal restraint by the legislature, the Senate and the House in Harrisburg. So hopefully they'll have a budget by June 30th, July 1st to go forward. Saw an article in another article in the paper that affects cafeterias across the country. Our senator, one of our senators, Pat Toomey, is seeking to revise rules that would ban whole milk and 2% milk from school lunches funded by the U.S. Department of Agriculture. It's called the Milk and Lunches for Kids, or the Milk Act. The measure would require the Secretary of Agriculture to revise regulations that to exclude milk fat from a cap on saturated fat in school lunches. The cap currently limits schools to serving fat-free or 1% milk with their lunches. Well, as a former dairy farmer, that's like that's pretty weak, to say the least. But seriously, milk consumption has dropped considerably in the last, I don't know, just about 10 to 20 years from what it was. And milk is one of the healthiest foods you can have. So hopefully this goes forward, and It was through 2010, these regulations to, I would call it whitewash milk, was put into effect. And the other one was something that we've been sort of touched upon with our agreement with Columbia. It's being discussed up in Harrisburg again. Consolidating of school district is something worthwhile discussing. And it's kind of staggering when you look at it. Of course, some of these things happened before, shortly after I was born in 1958. In 1960, there were 2,277 public schools in the state of Pennsylvania. Of course, most of them would have been the traditional one-room schoolhouses that we knew before the consolidation of the school districts.
Mr. Wentzel, yes? If I can just interject, either six or seven of those school districts was this school district. We were six or seven, believe it or not, we were six or seven prior to that consolidation.
That's true, yeah. And 669 in 1970, and then in the 70s, it reached down to the 501, which that we know now. But I think this would be, it's very advantageous for especially school districts, and you're treading a fine line because everybody has personal pride within their school districts. They don't like to look and think, well, if we're accepting help from another school district, well, that sort of takes away from our individualism that we have at our own school district. But I think it's something, and it won't work for every district, but there are a lot of districts around the state. You have a smaller district that could really benefit, similar to what we're doing with Columbia, to utilizing another school district, and it can be beneficial to the school district that's supplying those services and an income coming back. So that's my report for the night, unless somebody has any questions.
All right, questions or comments? So, I think it's challenging with the consolidation. I'm not sure, how to achieve that. Or,
yes.
I think the
goal,
the sharing, the sharing
is possible.
Thing.
Possible.
I think there's a lot of potential there for a school district that does something really well, may be able to maximize that and provide services to other school districts. But okay, but prior to the superintendent's report, though, I do have to mention that we did have, prior to the meeting, an executive session for a legal matter. And now we'll move into the superintendent's report. Dr. Hollister.
Thank you, Mr. Yoder. I've got a number of items. Just to follow up on the last conversation, our partnership with Columbia Borough is still, I would deem it still successful for both parties. We're able to bring in a couple $100,000 in revenue. In addition to that, nearly $100,000 in additional salaries, for the various folks who are serving there. And that helps our bottom line budget, retaining good people and not having to pay top dollar. So I know Columbia Borough is really pleased with the partnership. They would like to continue to get the assistance. It is a different slice of the conversation. It's not a combination or a merge of schools. So you both school districts retain their identity. I know that's important here for us Spartans, but it's also important for the Crimson Tide. I think there are a number of benefits that we're showing with that partnership that other school districts could also emulate. So just a comment on your comment. Thank you. Moving into the items that I have, the first thing I want to do is recognize a music teacher at our middle school, Lynn Stover. Lynn was recognized as a Teacher Impact Award by WITF Radio and the Rotary District 7390. That Rotary District is multi-counties. There's six different counties. Lynn Stover was the winner for Lancaster County. They had a wonderful ceremony for him May 28th. I had the opportunity to attend. WITF was really, really great about it. So congratulations to Lynn. I believe he was actually nominated by a former student. And as I said, Lynn is a middle school teacher here and does a phenomenal job and obviously has some great relationships with students. So congratulations to Lynn. The next item I have, just a note to the board. You're welcome to attend a reception that we have planned. The Spartan Foundation for Education has a reception planned on July 18th. Beginning at 5:30, and we are inviting the students who've traveled abroad to come back and chat with the board and also some of our larger donors and sponsors. We're going to invite some of those folks as well, just to see the sponsors have first contact with direct contact with the folks who are benefiting from those dollars. So it's an informal reception that we'll have in the lobby area. Board members, you're welcome to attend. If you are planning to attend, please let us know by July 5th so we can order the finger food appropriately, have the right amounts, so forth. So again, the Spartan Foundation is a separate organization from the school district, but is directly linked to us. They operate on their own, their own 501c3. And I should mention that Ms. Mayo is the representative from this board linking, and she serves on that board as well. Any questions?
I'm sorry, what was that date?
Thanks, Brian. July 18th, it's a Thursday, 5:30, informal gathering here in the lobby outside the auditorium. And then we may go in the auditorium. We'll ask the students to put together a real easy PowerPoint with some pictures and some stories like they have prepared in the past for the school board. Again, trying to show directly to some of our bigger donors how those dollars are being put to use. Next item I have, congratulations to another teacher. Drew Arena is our Makerspace teacher, and his students, both Drew and the students, were featured in June's Ozabot blog, and Drew has been nominated as the Teacher of the Year. Our Makerspaces are creative technology areas that we have in our elementary schools. This is Drew's first year, I believe, right? First year for Drew in that position. So congratulations to him and the students who demonstrated such success, so much so that they were recognized in that blog. And again, Drew Arena, Educator of the Month for that organization. Another teacher and her students, Diana Haynes at New Holland Elementary School, will be featured for a design STEM challenge that they completed. I'm just going to read from the invite to a conference. Our students' video will be presented in Philadelphia this coming week, starting on Sunday. There's a technology conference. It's an international technology conference. And I'll just read, congratulations on your film entry to the state level media coverage and design competition. We are pleased to let you know that we would like to feature your film as a part of the ISTE 2019 Student Film Festival. The conference and expo is the most influential ed tech event in the world and a must-attend event. There'll be thousands. I attended this event about 5 years ago, and there were over 10,000 attendees. It's the Philadelphia Convention Center. But congratulations to our students and our teachers who are taking some risks. We encourage that. We encourage failing forward and trying some things in the technology world, but our investments in technology that we made many years ago are really coming to fruition for our students now. So congratulations to both the teacher and the students who put that film together. There's going to actually be two different showings, both one on Monday and one on Tuesday. So it'll be fun to see some Elanco students there on the world stage.
Sorry, I just want to say as a proud dad, Father's Day, that my son was the one who made the video, so I just had to brag.
Oh, I guess I should have mentioned that. One of my bosses right there. Yeah, congratulations to Gary Buck's child who did that great job. So that'll be fun. That's going to be awesome. We're getting some really notoriety for some of the great things that we're doing for our students here in multiple places. So some good news. I want to note, pass that paper right here. Just again to note Allison Cuthie's amazing work. Allison, through will and hard work, has gotten authorization and has done all the legwork to put banners up in the community of students' artwork. We'll have about 100 different banners. She's gotten donors for all that. If you recall, Allison's the one who had the military personnel flags hung several years ago. This is her new project. She worked with me and my art teachers and throughout the whole district. Basically, each school is got about 20 students who have had their work photographed for the banners, and the banners should go up this summer. But again, all the credit goes to Allison and the teachers who had a difficult time selecting the pieces to put into
into the final round there. But there should be about 100 banners up sometime this summer to both get recognition for the school and the students, but also to, in part, beautify New Holland. I just thought this was just a fun fact. Jamie Lisey, who is our cafeteria supervisor, sent us an email late in the year. We served over 2,011 breakfasts and lunch meals this year at the elementary, and over 374,000 meals to students this past year. I just think they're fun facts. I think that's a lot of food, and our folks do really well. Jamie took over a couple years ago and really tries to make it interesting for the kids and has special days and tries new things, new food items on a regular basis. So congratulations to Jamie and thank her for all the work. And then finally, we have on many occasions mentioned Julie Groff. Julie Groff was a Be Impactful Award winner, I believe, last year. She is the one who hosts our Wellness Council here. We have a Wellness Council composed of a whole bunch of adults and some students, and it really is about workplace wellness, trying to keep employees healthy. Healthy employees lead to happier employees, lead to better service to students, and a reduced cost overall operating cost because we're self-insured and self-funded. We have always been sort of in the hunt with some other players in the county, but this year we are finally a platinum award winner for our health care service that we provide our students, for our faculty. We're the only school district that was a platinum award winner, and I will tell you that we're up there with WellSpan and Penn Medicine. They're the two other employees who won. Masonic Village and Her Foods are the other two platinum winners. So Eastern Lancaster County, Her Foods, Masonic, Penn Medicine, WellSpan. Did I mention Eastern Lancaster County? Because they were up there too. Platinum Award. Again, Julie Groff and her committee do an amazing job. They meet early in the morning, 6:45 in the morning, once a month, to talk about ways to continue to keep our adults healthy and provide a lot of contests, et cetera. The only other educational organization in the entire list was the IU, and they were all the way down there at the gold list, which was basically second place. So that just about concludes my report. One other item. We have been talking for years about the teacher evaluation system and how inadequate and unfair and how dependent it is on PSSA scores, which is then puts pressure on students. I received a communication from Senator Ahmet just this evening. He indicates that the new evaluation system that I had the privilege of helping him with, it was me and one other superintendent in the Commonwealth and a few other people, redesigned what he had proposed and passed into legislation about 7 years ago. He is taking that to the Education Committee tomorrow, so that's some great news. Hopefully there'll be some revisions that will be more fair towards teachers and a little less pressure for students with the PSSA with the revision. So keep your fingers crossed on that. It goes to the Education Committee tomorrow morning. But Senator Ahmet was kind enough to give me a heads up tonight and say, you know, keep your fingers crossed. So that concludes my report. Don't forget, folks, in July, we only have one meeting. It'll be the same time, same second Monday. We won't have a meeting the first Monday. It's only one meeting in July next month. That concludes my report. Third Monday. Thank you. Not second. Third.
All right. Thank you for that. Any questions or comment on the superintendent's report? Any other announcements for the board? Hearing none, is there a motion to adjourn?
Second.
A second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. We are adjourned.